Hey, bartender, I'll take congressperson under 45 on the rocks. Keep the partisanship. And you know what? Make it a double of information. That's what we do here. That's what we order. That's what we like. That's what we're about. Political Playlist Happy Hour. Here we go.
Welcome to Political Playlist.
All right. Are you ready, guys?
Happy Hour.
Happy Hour.
You fucked that up so bad. God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Political Playlist Happy Hour. I'm Michael Kristof.
I'm Anna Muskie-Goldwyn.
And I'm Anthony Barquette.
And gang, the news of the day is that I tried Flonase. So just to back up here, okay, I know that's sort of a weird leadoff, but in between last week's podcast and this week's podcast, I got the flu. Tested twice for COVID. It was not COVID. So far, I still have never tested positive for COVID, which is crazy. But I thought that this was an interesting fun fact on the 4-year anniversary of COVID, which is kind of wild, that I still have never tested positive for COVID. However, I did try Flonase for the first time because I'm getting over the flu.
You know, one thing about you, Michael, is you have a very good talent at making a very boring story sound like it's not supposed to be boring.
Thank you.
You should be doing commercials.
You're like, I took medicine because I was sick.
And it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
A lot of people have been sick in the last 4 years, in case you forgot, but I'm not one of them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I also don't mean to find glory in the fact of evading a positive test. But I will have to say that, like, you know, pretty good. Pretty good batting average.
Pretty good.
But sponsorships, Flonase, we're open to it.
What a sponsorship that would be. I wonder what the, like, ad read for Flonase would be.
Unclear. Well, guys, we have a lot doing.
We have a lot doing.
Yeah, we have a lot doing. Lot going on.
A lot doing is not a phrase.
We have a lot doing. Yeah, that's a thing. Here's an interesting little top liner to kick this off. And I want to kind of move into our leaders that we cover. But as of today, gang, it is official. Joe Biden and Donald Trump have clinched their party's nomination for president. So we got a rematch. Feels appropriate that we do a 180 pivot, or rather, should we say, like, the Heisman stiff arm to the old guard running for presidente. And let's talk about what the young guard is doing and saying. Guys, what are our people up to in the news?
Well, we had Super Tuesday, and we had a lot of very interesting things happen. I'll just maybe talk about my top two things, and we can give a little
big election.
Yeah, so Super Tuesday was last week.
Big election doings.
I just feel like that's like someone learning English and like not quite getting the phrasing right. I think the word you're looking for is happenings.
No, doings.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus.
So first one I wanted to mention was that Colin Allred, a representative from Texas, won the Texas Democratic primary to face Ted Cruz. Many people have tried to challenge Ted Cruz, sort of most notably Beto O'Rourke came the closest.
Who?
I think.
Exactly.
I think that, you know, Texas has gotten more red. It's probably unlikely that Allred will win, but he's super impressive, has, you know, I think a very good moderate head on his shoulders, and has a lot of experience as, you know, on the Foreign Affairs Committee and on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. But, you know, we'll see. Ted Cruz, I feel like somehow, even though he's so unappealing, is unbeatable.
I agree with that. I will say this, though. There's something about Colin Allred that seems so much more appealing to folks in Texas than Beto.
Yeah. I mean, ex-NFL player.
Ex-NFL player. Also just seems to have much more of a congressional track record. You know, I think that one of the challenges for Beto when he was running was that it was sort of a little hard for him to point to like a congressional track record that, of legislation or bills or whatnot.
Right. He was just very like inspiring in his
And nothing against Beto or his candidacy, but I think that there is with Colin Allred, there's something about him, and just maybe it's that we've covered him much more. You know, it just there seems like there's something that could potentially pierce that Ted Cruz suit of armor.
Anthony, what about you?
So remember that guy, former Speaker McCarthy?
Oh, who?
Yeah. Who? What's going on with his seat in California?
Great question.
Vince Fong actually won the GOP nomination there. Which, you know, shows a signal that it's still heavy Republican in that district, but should be a safe seat. But he looks like he will be taking that seat.
And he's 44 years old. So
44. Yeah. And then my second piece from Super Duper Tuesday is we have a 30-year-old coming in.
Wow.
In Texas, deep red. So his name's Brandon Gill. So I think we're going to start hearing a lot about this guy. We're probably going to start following him. So he will be on our platform.
Now, we should say that this guy is an interesting lineage that is a little questionable. Can you
he's the son-in-law of Dinesh D'Souza?
Mm. Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with this guy?
Or? I am. I am. And
with
I
Brandon
would,
Gill or with Dinesh D'Souza?
I'm guessing Dinesh.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with Brandon Gill at all, but.
I mean, shouldn't you guys be familiar? You're in the film industry. He had some movie called 2000 Mules.
Dinesh D'Souza?
He's also done.
Well, he
is sort of a widely debunked and disproven conspiracy theorist slash.
Awesome. Yeah, here we go.
You know, slash sort of political muckraker, as it were, and is obviously a real sort of frequently cited source, shall we say, among the MAGA far right reaches of the Republican Party. And so it seems as though his nephew here, or excuse me, son-in-law, is very much going to be parroting that same kind of very, very, shall we say, controversial and colorful ideology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, Brandon Gill, I'm sure he'll become a voice that will probably annoy us, but.
Annoy Anna for sure. Michael, what are yours?
Oh, God. Where do I even begin? I think what is notable is that we've talked about Jeff Jackson in the past as somebody we really like and
big fan.
And particularly his use of social media and if his effectiveness at that. And, you know, he got sort of redistricted in the map drawings and everything. And so he is running for North Carolina Attorney General. And so he secured that Democratic nomination. And I don't really know much about, North Carolina state politics. I know it's sort of
it's becoming more of a swing state
yeah.
in the sense that there is probably going to be a pretty competitive governor's race as the far right Mark Robinson won the GOP nomination, which, you know, might mean that some moderate conservatives in North Carolina are going to potentially not vote for him. But North Carolina is red, but I think it's important to note that Jeff Jackson has a pretty high profile because of
very
how he's sort of handled his communications and social media and all of that. So it'll be interesting. This leads into my tweet. So
ooh.
Can I? Go?
Yeah, sure.
Surprising.
Okay. Yeah.
The floor is yours.
So the reason this leads into my tweet is because one of the things that Jeff Jackson is really known for is he is one of the most prominent politicians on TikTok. Like, he has millions of followers. It's amazing, actually. And he makes these incredible videos that are really helpful and explain a lot. So here's the tweet. Or it's not a tweet, it's a quote. "The world we all want to live in, and the world Trump would want to live in, particularly if he's the one who gets to consummate the deal, is one in which ByteDance divests in TikTok, and then TikTok is sold to an American."
I love consummate in this. Strangely sexual, so.
Consummate the deal.
I'm going to go with a Democrat.
Mm.
Am I right?
No.
Okay.
That's oh, wow.
Think great. TikTok, think China.
Oh, Gallagher. Josh Hawley.
Mike Gallagher.
Mike Gallagher.
I was actually, it's funny, Michael, I was actually looking for a tweet from Josh Hawley, and the tweet that I was going to use from him was just ban TikTok.
That's really good.
But good. So anyway, both Josh Hawley and Mike Gallagher are two of the most sort of vocal on this issue of wanting TikTok to be quote unquote banned in the US, which is not actually the case. It's something kind of different what they want. But Gallagher is one of the original champions of this ban, and he is the chair of the China Committee in Congress. So he's constantly talking about the threat that China poses to our democracy, to our economic security, all of that. The reason that this is important is that today is Tuesday, March 12th. Tomorrow, Wednesday, March 13th, which is the day this episode will come out, the House is going to vote on a bipartisan bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S. if the Chinese owners, ByteDance, do not sell it. So if they sell it to an American, which is what Mike is referencing in his tweet, TikTok will stay. If they refuse to sell it, which they said they have said they will refuse, then it will be banned. Now, interestingly, this is an incredibly bipartisan issue. It passed out of committee with unanimous support to go to a vote in the House. It probably
to you, the vote was 50-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
And actually, it's some of the young members that we follow who are on that committee were Dan Crenshaw, August Pfluger, Kat Kamak, and Darren Soto. It probably is going to pass the House. But when it gets into the Senate, it's going to be a little bit more uncertain, which is where someone like Josh Hawley is really going to come in and be this sort of vocal critic of TikTok and vocal supporter. So
the bill is trying to force an American company to buy it?
Well, they're not trying to force an American company to buy it. They're trying to force the company to sell it. So
got it.
There's so not how an American buyer like in mind.
Well, let me pitch you this idea. How is our political playlist company credit card looking like right now? Because I'll tell you what, we could really get this TikTok thing to work for us.
Totally. We can just split it through a couple cards. We'll be good.
We will be the people that get hurt the most out of this. But I mean, funny, Hannah, because this is also my tweet. It wasn't my Gallagher's, but it was someone else's.
Okay. Sorry.
But before I read their tweet. So really interesting about this bill. So it's called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications.
Wow.
I did not know this, but TikTok has 150 million monthly users.
Woo.
That's wild. They say like it kind of goes up to 180.
That's Americans, by the way. That's not Americans. Globally. Yeah.
Yeah. And guess how long this bill was?
How long?
2 pages.
Okay. It was a trick question. It's only a 12-page bill.
Okay.
And wow. I was like, maybe we should have a limit on how long your bills can be so people will actually read it. We actually had a 50-0 vote on this. Maybe it's because
they were able to simplify it.
Read on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know what? Have you guys noticed that TikTok has really stepped up their television advertising campaign?
Yeah. Yes. They
did. Well, I think that's kind of part of this.
Yeah.
It's part of this.
And it's really interesting to see how they're trying to brand it from a, television advertising standpoint. And it'll be interesting to see if this actually forces them to divest part of the company into an American entity. And I think, this is a good thing that is making its way through Congress right now, because I think this is the first significant tech company piece of legislation that is regulating. And I feel like as we are it's already starting to feel like to me that we're missing the boat on regulating AI and a lot of just other elements of social media.
Easiest one to go after, in my opinion.
Well, because they can frame it as a national security threat, right?
Right.
And both Trump and Biden are for it, by the way.
Well, no.
So Biden is for the bill, even though, ironically, a few weeks ago, he posted his first TikTok to try to court young voters. But that's neither here nor there. Let grandpa do what he wants. But Trump originally tried to ban TikTok when he was president and it was not successful. And so he has been supportive. But then recently it came out that he's been building a relationship with a GOP mega donor who apparently has a very big financial stake in TikTok. And Trump has actually said that he now opposes this ban.
Oh my God. Actually, I did not know.
It's unbelievable.
That's what Mike Gallagher was referring to. He's basically saying,
saying
Trump should want this because he will basically be helping TikTok get bought by an American company, which would be good for America. But Trump now has kind of like backpedaled a little bit.
Okay. Can I read my tweet?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there are two. So TikTok is a Trojan horse that steals data to give to the Chinese. All right. Now I'm going to say this next one really seductively.
Say consummate.
Chinese government was using TikTok to conquer America by conquering the minds of our next generation.
Oh.
Lauren Boebert.
Wow, we haven't talked about Lauren Boebert in
so
long.
Did you not see the SNL skit on this one?
Katie Britt.
Oh, I thought when I said I'm going to say this seductively, you would have gotten it.
Anthony is scary mom.
Guys, I think I have a little Flonase foggy brain right now. I'm just
it's noticeable.
No, that was pretty good, Anthony. Oh my God. We haven't even talked about Katie Britt. Oh my gosh.
So I will want to say, though, on TikTok, I mean, there are major reasons why they should I am kind of against it myself, not because I'm a Trump, not for Trump, but they like TikTok has been known to monitor and track journalists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've also done filters that have promoted Chinese political positions. There's documents that have been leaked where they've censored videos that mention things, that are Chinese related, like Tiananmen Square, Tibetan independence. And then also in China, there's a law where upon request, they would have to give over data, which is what the US is mostly very nervous about. So
also there's been evidence now from American intelligence that China has used the TikTok algorithm to interfere in US elections.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not great.
I'm kind of not for it because I feel like it's going against this whole freedom of speech thing. But then going back to Anna, what you've said, like I think how this is all going to be framed up and related to AI and big tech, like this is just the first chop.
That was something I said. That was something I said.
Oh, Michael. That was
I just want to be very clear. I just want to be very clear.
You can hear the nasal.
Yes. And also,
no flow today.
But on that same point, like when you're saying like it's all about how this is going to be framed, I feel like the thing that politicians do such a poor job at all the time is people understand the caveats and intricacies of something like this in a way that feels digestible, because every journal, every article, every quote, everything that people are saying is Congress is trying to ban TikTok. And the truth is they're actually not trying to ban TikTok. They're trying to divest ByteDance, a Chinese company, from TikTok. Mm. So let this be the PSA to anyone listening who likes TikTok. Congress is not trying to take away your TikTok. Congress is trying to take China out of your TikTok. Mm. And I think that distinction is really important, but it's something that gets very lost in the sauce because it's not the fun, like, government wants to ban TikTok thing. Right. I think that also brings up the question of like the First Amendment. And if we're saying TikTok is banned.
What is that called again?
The First Amendment?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just curious.
Wait, what?
Heard of it.
I don't know. I'm kind of just making a joke of this, where First Amendment, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah, well, wow. I'll just go.
No, but it's like I think that if it's saying we're going to ban the app, and look, maybe if ByteDance doesn't divest from it, then maybe it is a question of First Amendment rights. But I don't know. Personally, I don't feel like your First Amendment rights are being infringed upon if it changes ownership in the name of national security. I do think your First Amendment rights are infringed upon if a method of communicating and social networking is fully banned. So I don't know how they plan to get around that of like, let's see, they obviously have to threaten ByteDance with the full ban, but I think it's important to note that like this isn't like TikTok's going to disappear from your phone tomorrow once the House passes it.
Yeah, right. I mean, the idea is that you're just more protected on it, right?
The idea, yeah. I mean, if China really, I mean, it's just like, just I think like take the government out of it. From what we know about China, even like what you know about the fact that it is a surveillance state, that it is an authoritarian state, like let me pose it this way. Would we allow like a Russian app to suddenly be on 170 million phones?
Who's the donor?
Oh, his name is, I had it pulled up, Anthony.
I think look no further than the CIA director, Bill Burns, was quoted about 6 months ago. He was asked, you know, do you think TikTok is a threat to Americans? Like, what would you say to them? And his exact response was, I would encourage all Americans to stay off TikTok. Mm. And, you know, it was like a pretty full throated, like, do not go on TikTok.
Like, shut up, dad.
Yeah.
Loser.
Okay. I got a tweet.
Yeah. Let's go.
You might get this from, but we'll see. Each day, the deteriorating I-5 bridge sees 69,000 Clark County commuters, $1 million of freight, and 7 to 10 hours of congestion. It's why replacement is so urgent and why I'm working to bring every possible federal dollar home to get this done.
Clark County is Nevada. We don't have anyone from Nevada.
We don't, so it must not be that Clark County.
So I-5.
I-5, California, maybe.
David Valadao.
Maybe it goes to other states that are around California.
Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Marie Boussin-Comprez.
Ah, guten Tag.
What, is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Marie Boussin-Comprez.
How did you get that, Anna?
Because I'm smart.
Great. You well, because I led the horse to water.
But I knew.
On.
Oh, please, Michael, you Mr. Master Guesser.
Yes, Marie Boussin-Comprez. So here's what's interesting about this.
I thought it was like, because isn't Vegas Perez in Clark County? Isn't that like the famous Clark County?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah,
I will get back to you.
I think it is, yeah.
But here's the deal. We got a 107-year-old bridge that is in disrepair. And this basically connects Portland to, obviously, Oregon, to Vancouver, Washington.
Not Maine.
Which is where her district is. And so a lot of people, in fact, I know somebody personally who lives in Vancouver, from Vancouver, and commutes and works in Portland. And so this is like, it's kind of like for us, Anna, like commuting from Connecticut into New York City, but like if there was a bridge
was really old,
right?
Well, you know what that would, well, Michael, that would be like if you're commuting from New Jersey into New York City.
There is
a very notable bridge.
Perfect. Right. We'll have Chris Christie on to discuss that more. But so in any event, Marie lobbied for about $6 million worth of infrastructure funding to go towards this repair,
Good for her.
She got it.
Wow,
okay.
Damn,
because this is like one of the massive infrastructure.
I like her a lot.
Well, here's what's interesting. Okay. So this bridge and this bit of funding has become a political flashpoint in her reelection because she is being challenged by a guy, Joe Kent, who challenged her and lost.
Yeah. I know you sound familiar.
He's 43. He's a former Special Forces Ranger.
Very MAGA.
Very far right MAGA guy. Mm-hmm. And so I love how you say MAGA. It's sort of like, it's MAGA, like the Downton Abbey pronunciation. It's like, oh, these MAGA folks are quite
folks.
They're just Lady Granholm.
Yeah.
Lady Granholm.
Ooh, who has them? These MAGA. Yes. Just give them old gin Rickies and calm the fuck down. So here's the interesting thing. He is saying he is using this as a political a tool, a little flashpoint, and saying all this money, you're trying to basically build and innovate commuter infrastructure on this bridge. So they want to build a rail system. They want to build pedestrian and bike crossing. They basically want to make this like a massive, you know, high-tech artery. And he's saying this is going to bring Portland, Tent City, and Antifa crime, quote, into our suburbs of Vancouver, Washington. So basically, he's making the argument that this is too much money going to this bridge, and we have to fix the bridge in traditional ways, i.e. cars only, so that folks without cars can't use the bridge. So I'm curious.
They think everyone's going to like walk 60 miles to go live in.
Well, it's not quite that.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, but they're thinking that if they build.
People walk on the 405 in LA. Yeah. So I don't think that by having it be cars only,
it's kind of like adding, you know, what people in Santa Monica would argue the Metro line did, which is, you know, bring in a whole different population
the issue
of people.
With public transportation.
Right. And public transportation writ large, that it creates accessibility for all these people to go to wherever the transit goes to. So, you know, this is really interesting. And this was, you know, this is so far made very, it has made national news. Pete Buttigieg is talking about this. The New York Times is now covering this. But so my question to you is, and I have a follow-up as well. Here it is. That's my signature line, guys. I love it. T-shirts, baby.
7 minutes.
It's a long windup. As I said, I make dull news exciting, boring stories fun. So do you think that, she is a Democrat in a pretty, you know, middle of the road / right conservative leaning district. Do you think that this is going to be a winning issue for a guy like Joe Kent? Do you think that Marie is somebody who can sort of use this as a positive? $600 million into the district feels like it's a pretty good jobs creator. So, that's a hard one to fight against.
This guy's taking a cheap shot at her.
Yeah, but I mean, but I feel like he's also taking.
Well, hold on. Let Anthony finish.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry, but if you're going to argue about $600 million coming to your district to help with gentrification, like, that's mind boggling to me. I would be like, that's not even. And of course, he's using very far right names to make the messaging sound like. Good
well, that's
for
like.
Him.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I'd just
that's
be like, are you serious, dude? $600 million. You want us to not take that?
Yeah, and hopefully that is what she's harping on is the jobs, because I think that the thing that I was going to say, I'm sorry I interrupted you, Anthony. I just got too excited.
Thank you.
Never apologize.
Not sorry. Is that I feel like, unfortunately, he is creating. I mean, he's fear mongering, right? Like, he's choosing to ignore the issue that I. Like, it's basically we're dealing with two of the top issues, the economy and like crime / wealth inequality, whatever you want to say.
Right.
And he's kind of saying he's putting his money in the like crime basket. I think that Marie smartly is putting her money in the economic basket, which is this is going to create jobs. This is going to bring money to the district. This is going to make all of us live better, eat better, sleep better, have better lives. And but unfortunately, I feel like the attention to the like NIMBY attitude, you know, the NIMBY, not in my backyard, that kind of a thing.
Oh, I've never heard that. Is that what that?
You haven't?
No.
That's
wow.
What? Yeah.
That's
it's
great.
It's basically, it's not
you've
quite
definitely
this.
You've heard that before.
No, I literally have net NIMBY. NIMBY.
You've never then.
Really
like,
ubiquitous.
No, NIMBY. Wow,
NIMBY
I love
basically,
that.
NIMBY basically is like, it really is what it really is when it's talking about like progressive people who are like, oh, we need to spend money on like housing and homelessness. They're like, but not across
not
the street
in my
from
backyard.
Me.
No, we got to do
know?
It, but it's
that's,
not.
That's know. Really what it's addressing. But I think that Joe Kent is trying to like appeal to people who are afraid of crime right. and who equate homeless people with crime, which we all know is obviously not always the case. And like,
right.
So I think that hopefully Marie, who I think does actually a very good job communicating on social media. I watch a lot of her videos. If you are interested in just sort of like how politicians communicate, I would highly recommend looking her up because she speaks in a way that is like so not like a politician. In a yeah. way, she almost seems awkward, but I think it's just that's like who she is and how she speaks. And it's so not like speechy or trying to be like charming. She's just like, this is the deal. This is what's happening. And
so she's the anti Katie Britt is what you're trying to say.
I mean, it's like literally the complete opposite.
By the way, can we just give a shout out to Eric Swalwell, who tweeted over the weekend because it was Oscars on Sunday. He goes, Katie Britt, you were robbed. And then gave like a little emoji of an Oscar. It was good. It was,
it
good.
Was guys, that was shocking.
It was cringe. Okay.
Anyway, back to Marie, back to the bridge.
Well, I'll say here's an interesting a little side note on her. And she was quoted in this New York Times article on all this as saying, you know, she's a Christian and her father was an evangelical pastor. And she went on to say how she feels like her party is embarrassed that she's a Christian. And she is a very interesting politician because she oftentimes finds herself in this kind of congressional no man's land. She votes against a lot of Democratic yeah. bills. And she, you know, is decidedly not a fan of where the Republican Party is. And so, you know, that's such a tricky balance when you have a constituency like hers that yeah. tends to be more Republican, that previously had a Republican congresswoman who we used to cover.
Very moderate,
exactly. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that worries me about our parties and when parties get pulled to so far to either side is that, you know, it becomes the average community. It's like a pretty moderate community, you know?
Yeah. I think that actually she's hard. Someone who's probably so representative of her constituents.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that if Joe Kent wins, he would not be. That's obviously not to say it's across the board, but I think that's what we hope as voters is that the person that we elect, which is why primaries are so important. That person represents us, even if we're a Democrat and they're a Republican, that they, you know, hold views that are in some part favorable to us, whether it's economically or whatever. And I think Marie's a really good example of that. So I'm pro bridge. I'm pro $600 million bridge.
Anybody have a good last call that they want to?
Maybe. Unless
I have an interesting stat, but it doesn't have to be the very last stat. Yeah. I'll just give you like an interesting stat because I feel like I'm, you know, I speak a lot on the show about Ukraine and the importance of, you know,
they
military aid.
Funding.
Ukraine. Yeah. 300 mil. You know, there was a fascinating article that I recommend everyone reading. It's from 2 weeks ago in the New York Times. That was all about the relationship that the CIA has built with Ukraine over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And basically everything you're seeing in Ukraine right now, militarily speaking, and how as we're leading up to the war, you know, just all of the sort of advantages that Ukraine sort of surprised the world by having has actually been like a very concerted CIA effort. And relationship built over the last 10 years. And I think this is a very interesting and notable statistic. So in the last 6 months, 15 Russian naval ships have been sunk by Ukraine, which of course does not have a navy. And so there's as a time of record here, Putin just fired the head of the Russian Navy. And one of the notable things about you know, he was relieved of his command. Yes. And so, you know, it's just very interesting to see, like, there's so much behind the scenes stuff that we don't know what's going on. It's kind of a sobering reminder of, like, yeah, our government does a lot that they don't tell us about. Sometimes good, sometimes not good.
Well, I'll do a last call that's a piggyback on that that I just thought of. So my last call is about the movie that won Best Documentary, 20 Days in Mariupol. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Guys, it is. Billy wanted to watch it, so I watched it. I was prepared to maybe leave after 5 minutes because I didn't know if I could handle it.
Yeah.
I will say if I can handle it, I feel like people can handle it because I'm very sensitive, as you know.
That's a good endorsement.
Understatement.
But that's to say, like, it is so fucking intense and really, really sad. And I am hopeful that this Oscar win will bring a little bit of news to it because...
And the filmmaker's speech was great.
Oh, my God. Wow. Like, literally to what these people went through and what was filmed, like, it's insane. But it renewed in me watching it and then seeing it win. It renewed in me, similarly to what you're saying, Michael, like this understanding of sort of specific role in defeating this giant threat that is, I don't even want to say Russia. I want to say Putin. I don't think that we should penalize the Russian people. But I think that it's a really well-made film. It's really upsetting, really, really deeply upsetting. And I think humanizes, much like if you watch the coverage in Gaza of these children, anything that kind of humanizes these conflicts, I think is good because it can create public pressure on our lawmakers to do something, which specifically when it comes to Ukraine, they are not.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say they are not, but there are some people who refuse to, and that is making it very difficult. And so anyway, my last call is if you want to be sad, watch 20 Days in Mariupol.
And if you want a real double feature, do that and the Zone of Interest back to back.
Oh my God. Oh,
powerful
so
films. Powerful
really
films.
Yeah. Oh my God. A lot of, you know what I will say that, well, sorry, this is my last call is that.
Lady, we need to close.
Completely non-political note. I thought that this year, I mean, I know this is not an entertainment podcast, but I will say this anyway.
Yeah.
This year of movies, and I know people like don't watch the Oscars anymore, whatever, but obviously me and Michael
ratings
did.
Ratings were up.
Yeah, ratings were up because of Barbie and Oppenheimer. And I think what I want, and Ryan Gosling's weird performance was so good.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
And I just think that what it showed me is like, or what it not showed me, but what it like affirmed in me is that people don't just want like depressing shit all the time. Yes, depressing shit is important, like Zone of Interest, 20 Days in Mariupol, but like the diversity of film this year, I think is what made movies great in the last year. And I feel like that is a metaphor for kind of like what we're going through in our world where everything, if you let it all be really depressing, then we kind of want to tune it out. But if you notice that there are these wins that are happening both in politics and elsewhere, it kind of shows that like there is a balance of everything. And that was like a microcosm, I thought, at the Oscars, where it was like, oh, this is like oddly fun because you have movies like Barbie and American Fiction that were nominated that are funny and being recognized for how funny and creative they were. And I think that our sort of worldview can also be shaped like that, of like looking for the things that are wins, looking for the things that might make us smile so that we can also handle the fact that, you know, things are happening around the world that are really deeply upsetting that we also have to pay attention to.
Amen to that. Focus on the wins.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.